If your vibe is the earlier, the better, Lowe's early Black Friday deals are a no-brainer. Get up to 35% off select major appliances. And rewards members get free delivery, haul-away, basic installation, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 11/4. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change. LG member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome John Bolton, former National Security Advisor to the United States, former ambassador to the United Nations from the United States, writing most recently in the Telegraph, the London Telegraph, about the events of these last days as Kabul has fallen under the authority, the violence of the Taliban. It's fog of war. We know a few facts that can be established right now. The President of the United States has addressed the nation. He's regarded the exit from Afghanistan that we're witnessing as hard and messy. Those are the two words the President used. I go to the London media reporting the word chaos. I go to the Defense One reporting here saying that the airport at the Hamid Karzai International Airport is closed, expecting, hoping to open again on Tuesday. The large crowds gathered at the airport are seeking a way out. John, a very good evening to you. The distinction is made in the British media between the decision to withdraw and the execution of the withdrawal. How do you measure right now the Biden administration? It's scrambling, I understand that. But do you sense that they've got hold of this now, that they understand the threat of the airport and the collapse of security at the airport? Good evening to you, John.
Good evening. No, I think it's still very much up in the air. I do think the British distinction between the decision to withdraw and the execution of the decision is correct. The decision itself, although Biden obviously said the last word on it, was following through on Donald Trump's policy. Make no mistake, had Trump been reelected, he would have been doing the same thing Biden did. And I think history will call this the Biden-Trump withdrawal. They have both for years, Biden going back to 2009 when he became vice president, said the U.S. should withdraw. I think that decision is a mistake. And I think when Biden today again called the conflict a civil war, he misunderstands why we were there, why we went in 2001. We went in to eliminate the strategic threat from the terrorist of another attack on the United States. And we have stayed there to prevent it from ever happening again. And so far, we've been successful. So I think he's mischaracterized why we're there, which is a key reason why he's mistaken in withdrawing. But even though this is a Trump-Biden decision, Biden is responsible for the execution. And not only is the policy wrong, but the execution is potentially catastrophic.
Yes, the Defense Secretary of the United Kingdom has made a statement in which he opines that he does not believe they can get everyone out who they want to get out. It's in the thousands, and I believe now the timeline extends all the way to August 31st. Yes, that's an ambition, given that the city is overrun with Taliban, and we're getting reports. It's fog of war. We're getting reports of atrocities throughout the nation and revenge killing and violence in Kabul. So let's go to the immediate threat, John, that we know next. The Taliban is declaring the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan. What does that mean for the region, John? Who is most at risk next?
Well, I think the first risk is with the Afghan people. And I think those who helped us and our allies in this conflict are obviously most at risk. There are many thousands who are simply not even in Kabul and will not be able to get there for the foreseeable future. The country is shut down as Taliban extends its control. And those who are at the airport, it's very unclear how long these flights are going to be able to continue. I mean, they lost control of the airport perimeter today, despite roughly 3,000 American troops being there. What they're talking about doing right now is establishing that perimeter in a safe way so the planes can come in and out. This is like a Berlin airlift in a sense, and the first day of it didn't go very well. But beyond the immediate tragedy that I'm afraid we're going to see in Afghanistan, the next issue for us is whether Taliban reverts to its ideological form and allows Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and other terrorist groups sanctuary in the territory of Afghanistan. Because if they do, and I think it's a high likelihood they will, we are back before September the 11th, 2001. And the threat the terrorist would use sanctuaries in Afghanistan to plot terrorist attacks against us and our friends and allies is very high. The threat in the region is real, too. Terrorists in the Central Asian republics, terrorists throughout the Middle East, terrorists in Xinjiang in China. The potential reach of a base in Afghanistan for all kinds of terrorists is enormous.
In the Telegraph, you identify Pakistan as right now vulnerable to extremists. Is Pakistan's government stable enough to survive if it faces an onslaught of the Taliban? I'm told the Afghan and Pakistan Taliban are two sides of the same coin.
I think that's a fair point. I'm concerned about Iran on the other side, too, because we're losing our capability to watch what they're doing by removing our troops and other capabilities from Afghanistan. But Pakistan is a particular case that not only is there a Pakistani Taliban, but significant elements of the Pakistani armed forces, I think particularly of the intelligence services, are heavily infiltrated by radical Islamists. And if using now in reverse direction, Pakistani extremists using Afghanistan as a refuge against the government of Pakistan, if they were to take control, you would have an extremist government with scores of nuclear weapons, meaning that they could transfer those weapons to terrorists on a worldwide basis. This is very serious.
It's back to the future, John. That's the concern we had in the early years of the Afghanistan conflict. The President, again and again, and the phrase I wrote down, not in our national security interests. Is that accurate, John? Is it Taliban into darkness visible in our not in our national security interests?
It's just stunning that after 20 years, he still doesn't understand it. This is not a civil war. We're not trying to make Afghanistan into the Switzerland of Central Asia. At least I've never believed we should. What we are there trying to do is deny Taliban a steady enough position that they can give sanctuary to other terrorist groups who have broader international objectives. And we don't need a perfect Afghan government to do that. We don't need to make Afghanistan a model society. I don't wish anything ill to the Afghan people, but the benefits they've received are collateral to our presence. They're not the reason that we're there. By walking away, not only are all those benefits going to disappear, we will become less safe. The Pentagon always liked to call our presence in Afghanistan an insurance policy. And now we're going to stop paying the premiums. And we'll see. And it won't be tomorrow and it won't be next month. But I fear soon enough, we will see whether we really needed that insurance and whether we're going to see more casualties and Americans dead and injured, not in Afghanistan, but in the streets and skies over America.
The London media, the Telegraph, right now is using the word chaos. That suggests that we're not anywhere close to an exit that makes sense, John. Do you expect, like Vietnam, that worse is coming? After Vietnam, much worse came.
Yeah, I think after the fall of Saigon, we saw the reprisals against people who had worked with the U.S. I think we should also keep in mind what happened after the 1979 Islamic Revolution in Iran. Our diplomats were taken hostage. You know, our diplomats have gone to the airport. British diplomats are still in downtown Kabul doing their work trying to get those who helped the British government out of the country. This is a pattern that we should be disturbed about, and it gives the lie to the repeated statement, sometimes contradictory statements by Biden officials, that all this was planned for and everything's going according to plan. It's just today the State Department spokesman said, yes, well, you know, now the entire embassy has redeployed to the airport. As if, you know, we do that all the time with our embassies. This was not contemplated. They weren't ready for it, and we're bearing the sad consequences of it.
John Bolton, former National Security Advisor, former ambassador to the United Nations, writing in the Telegraph about the fog of war in Kabul right now, but chaos is the word. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Bachelor. This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.